is what's the difference between a shor tam and a shor mord? Said otherwise, what does the mord process transform? What happens when an animal gores three times? Now, admittedly, we'd need to look under the hood of the mord process. It's not really our sugya yet. But we're trying to circle this issue, and we circled it on two fronts. Number one, when we got to the machlokas between Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Palganiska Knasa, Palganiska Mamona, we asked, according to Rav Huna, why is it Palganiska Knasa? Is it because a Karen Tam has little to no Pshia, and without Pshia, he doesn't deserve to pay? It's just a fine. Torah gives a chatzin as a fine. And therefore, the transformation to full payment of Muad is the augmentation or the increase of Pshia. Now the animal is gored three times. These are things you should be aware of. These are things that are likely. Normally, there's no way, shape, or form, Yoni. There's no way, shape, or form that I could imagine an animal goring and battering and bashing. But in this case, it happened three times. I should be on the lookout. And since I wasn't on the lookout, I'm a gross negligent. I'm a real criminal poshe, and I pay. Or the shift between tam and muad is not lower or higher pshia. A tam is not pater because it's not pshia. A tam is pater primarily because the animal isn't considered a mazik for things that rarely happen. Things that happen every day, eating, walking. So the animal is considered a mazik. And you have to watch items that are defined as mazik. But goring and kicking and beats through all the five tamim, the animal really doesn't do that likely, that often. You're not a mazik. And the transformation to mood is much more categorical. It's not just, oh, you should be more careful. You should have anticipated this. But now that the animal has performed this action three times, the animal becomes a mazik for these actions, and you have to watch the shift between tam and mu'ud is not lesser pshia, greater pshia, but categorical. Is the animal called a mazik or not? Now, that's something that we're going to prove, as I keep saying, when we get to the halachas of mu'ud. But we have an early trailer for this issue in our sugya. Our sugya is a little scattered. It starts on Tes Vav Amud Beis, and it ends on Tes Zayin Amud Beis. There are a lot of different issues, but if there's one glue that holds the sugya together, is that all of a sudden, this is like a mushroom popping up all over cases, potentially, of Karen that's in Mord Mitchila. So Karen that can leapfrog the process. Karen that doesn't have to go from Tam to Mord. So by studying these strange, crazy cases of Karen that's Mord Mitchila, so can we prove what the normal pattern and the normal process is? Can we say, oh, these are Karen Mord Mitchila, so because they're greater Psia from the get-go? Normally, for kicking and all these other things, you have to go through a process in order to make it predictable, in order to make the person pshia. But these things have a higher level of pshia, whatever these cases are. Or the difference between the Karen Mord Mitchilaso cases and normal Karen is, the normal Karen is just not a mazik. In these cases, not that they're more pshia, but they already have a shei mazik from the get-go. So our target these 2 days have been to line up as many cases of Karen Mord Mitchilaso. Cases that are Karen, but you pay Nezek Shalim from the get-go. Now, every time we have a case, we have to first make the following call. Is this Shein and Regel, and that's the reason it pays Nezek Shalim? Or is it Karen, Mord Mitchilasa? If it's Shein or Regel, it's interesting, but it's not relevant to our sugya. Some things we know are going to be Karen, Mord Mitchilasa, we'll see. But some things we have to go through the Rishonim and weed our way through and say, well, wait a second, what is this Nezek Shalim from the get-go? Is it Shein Beregel, not germane to our conversation, or is it Karen Mord Mechiloso, and then we start the inquiry. So this is a great methodology for you to see that sometimes there's a pre-question to the question. First, you have to decide what category it belongs to. If it belongs to Shein and Regel, not so relevant to our topic. If it belongs to Karen, okay, now you have my attention. It's Karen, and you pay Nezek Shalom Mechiloso. Why is it different than normal Karen, biting and kicking and whatever? So the first case we saw, which is the reason we were plunged into this, I don't know that we would have hunted these cases down, is Shitas Chachamim by the Chayos. The Chachamim, the Mishnah, say that Niske Chayos, Hazev, Hadov, Abeh, all these cases, Mu'adan Mitchilasa. Tosfos believed these are Shein and possibly Regel. Namely, in Tosfos' universe, there is no way to get to Nezek Shalim from the first shot through Karen. The only gateway to Nezek Shalim from the get-go is by calling it Shein and Regel. Now, that causes two problems for Tosfos. Number one is he doesn't have a very flexible system. The only gateway to Nezek Shalim Milechatchila is Shein Beregel. Number two is scope, because there are certain things that don't necessarily naturally lend themselves to Shein or Regel, namely Neshichas HaNachash. On the one hand, the Nachash doesn't get any Hana. It's hard to call it Regel, right? It's not like normal Derech Hilucho. Tosfos bites the bullet, bites the snake, and says, you know what? I'll just call Neshichas HaNachash, because the Mishnah lists Nachash as one of the six. How does it get to Nezek Shalim? I'll call it Regel. But that's the weak point in Tosfos. They say that Neshichas HaNachash is Regel. It's the bullet he's willing to bite. It's the pill he's willing to swallow. in order to say the only route to Nezek Shalim, what we call Mord Mitchilaso, is to call something Shenin Rega. It sounds in the Rambam and possibly Rashi that no, that these six chayos are all considered Karen, because the Kavanasa Lahasik, even though they may be higher levels of Orche, maybe not completely Orche, but more Orche than normal Karen. But Orche does not determine Karen and not Karen. Kavanasa Lahasik determines Karen and not Karen. Once they're considered Karen and they're Mord Mitchilaso, now you have my attention. First case of Karen, which is Mord Mitchilaso, namely the Niske Chayos, according to the Rambam. Now the question becomes, okay, why do these things leapfrog the Mord process? Why do these things become Nezek Shalom from the get-go? Is it because these Chayos are more likely to damage and you're more Pshia? Makes sense. Or because these Chayos are Chayos. And even if they're just as likely or less likely, they're wild animals and they're Mazikim from the get-go. They don't have to become Mazikim. They are Mazikim. Even if the tables and predictability is the same. I don't know. I can't prove that to you. It's an interesting question. I tried to prove it from Rebbe Laza's response. Rebbe Laza says, you know what, of the six you mentioned, only one is really Mord Mitchilas, a Nachash. The others, they still have to go through the process of Mord. Why? Because they're B'nai Tarbus. They can be domesticated. Why did Rebbe Laza reject Mord Mitchilas in these cases? How did Rebbe Laza view Mord Mitchilas by Nachash, and why did he reject it by the other five animals? Is it because he at least viewed that the way you become a Mord Mitchilaso is to become a Shem Mazik? And in his mind, wild animals aren't Shem Mazik because they can be domesticated. A Nachash can't be domesticated, it's always be a Mazik. And did the Rabbanan argue within that logic and say, you know what? I feel that since these five animals can't be domesticated, they are a Shem Mazik from the get-go, and therefore you leapfrog to Mord, because Mord is really just a way to make you into a Shem Mazik. Cows are not a Shem Mazik for kicking, but bears and whatever, hyenas, are a Shem Mazik for whatever they're going to do. It's hard to know, but that's where the conversation began. The conversation began within Shita of the Mishnah, the Niske Chayos are considered Mord Mitchilaso as Karen. According to Tosfos, conversation doesn't begin. According to the Rambam, all of a sudden I want to know, why do these things become Mord Mitchilaso? Second case we identified, this is a summary of yesterday's shir. It's a little bit more clear. We looked back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Daf Gimel Amud Beis, we have a strange case of an Avno Sakino Maso. After it fell, it's lodged in Rishis HaRabim, and you weren't mafkir it. According to Rav, once you're not mafkir something, you can't be bor. Bor has to be something you don't own. If you own it, it's not bor. And yet you pay Nezek Shelley. So what is it? So Rav Velvel said it's nothing, it's just the generic mazik. But Tosva said it's Karen. Aha. So now we have another case of Karen. And it pays Nezek Shelley. Why? So Tosva gave whatever svara, we didn't delve into it. But now we have a second case of something which is Karen, Mord Mitchilaso, and you pay Nezek Shelley. What makes an Avno Sakino Maso different from an animal who bites and kicks and whatever and has to go through a Mord process? Is an Avno Sakino Maso more likely to damage, and therefore the Pshia is maximum Shia from the get-go as opposed to the Pshia by a regular animal which has to morph into maximum Pshia? Or the difference between Avno Sakino Maso and an animal kicking, biting, is an animal is not yet a mazik for these things, because that's something people do. But you can't define an Eben and a Sakin and a Masa that has capability, not a feather or paper. You can't say it's not a mazik. These things are inherently dangerous, and therefore it's a mazik from the get-go. If you call them Karen, they'll be Karen Mord, Nezek Shalim, because the whole process of Mord is to confer my nice, sweet animal a Shem Mazik. You don't need that process, but obviously you don't. It's a Shem Mazik from the second it's false, because it's sharp, because it's heavy, because it can damage people. So this is the second case we had of Karen Mord Mitchilaso. Today we're going to talk about three additional cases. Case number one, the Hava Mina for Karen Mechuberes. Had the Torah not described Karen Mechuberes, Bechor Shar Hadalav, Karnarim Karnav, in Vizos Sabracha, to tip us off about what Karen means in Yigach, in Parshas Mishpatim, I would have assumed, okay, based on the Pasuk by Tzidkia, I would have assumed that the only time that the Torah's tables of Karen Tam Mord apply is by Karen Tlusha. Karen Mechuberes would have been Karen, obviously, but it would have been Nezek Shalom from the get-go. How do we explain the Hava Mina? Okay, let's start there, we'll make the list later. So we already saw two ways to explain the Hava Mina, the logic behind the Hava Mina, that Karen Mechuberes would be Karen Nezek Shalom from the get-go. Well, I gave it away already. What did Rav Velvel say? How could Karen Mechuberes be Nezek Shalom? After all, it's Karen. What did Rav Velvel say? Zev?
It's always automatically applied because you never have the official, like, the category of...
Right, it's not Karen. Havamin would have been the Karen Mechuberes, if it's not included in Mishpatim, because we don't have the tip-off from Vezos HaBracha that Mishpatim means Mechuberes. So I would have just assumed that Karen and Mishpatim, the Tam business, is about Karen Telusha. We're assuming Karen Mechuberes is not included in Mishpatim. So what is it? It's one of Rav Elvel's team of Mazikim that don't have a flag. They're not associated with any Mazik, like Avnasikin and Maso, according to Gemara Chafchasim and Beis. And therefore, I would have called it Mimona Shezik, Yerchayev, the full Monty. And there's no discount because it's not Karen. There's no Chatzin Ezek. So according to Rav Elvel, the Havamina is that this would have been a case. It's not like his theory fails in the Maskana. His theory remains, but the Havamina would have been this would have been a case that isn't tagged and isn't flagged. And since the Pasuk in Vezos HaBracha now tips me off that Ki'igach in Parshas Mishpatim even means Karen Mechuberes, so now I know that I flag it to Karen and I give it the discount. It's not just the Mechayev, which is generic. Very good, Zeb. Anyone remember Tosus? Tosus asked the question, what did Tosus say in the Havamina, Basim and Base? How would I have been Mechayev Karen Mechuberes Netzach Shalom? What would my Havamina have been if the Pasuk in Vezos HaBracha didn't tip me off? What does Tosus say? Okay, let's read Tosus together. Nice chance to do Chazar. Again, we didn't really delve into this Tosus, so it's fine if you don't remember it. Let's read Tosus. He asked the question. Avam Mechuberes, Eima Kulum Reda, Seyil HaShalom Nezek Shalom Afilu Lepam Rishona. Vim Tamu, Mehe Teise. What do you learn it from? Mehe Teise, what do you learn it from? How do you know? You've made up a new type of Karen called Karen Mordvet Chilasa. Where does that come from? So Tosus in the end, thank you, concedes. In the end, Tosus concedes. Let's read the end of Tosus. Tosus says, Avam Mechuberes, last three lines, Darkul Hazik Mechilasa. It's not Karen, it's Darkul Hazik Mechilasa. So where would you learn out of Chiyav? It doesn't look like anything else. It's not Shane. It's not, not getting any hand. No, it's not regular. It's not Bor. It's not Eish. Tosus says, V'nilmon mi Bor mechad mi Avos. You're right. I would have learned it as something that comes from two Avos. Remember we saw all those cases on Avavim and Aleph that you learn something from Bor and Shor and Bor and Eish. This would have been some child of two parents. Normally in Bava Kamma everything is asexual reproduction. You're a child of one parent. But sometimes it's sexual reproduction. You have two parents. So you have Bor and Eish or Bor and Shor. So I would have said, you're right, this is some of that gray area between the two apples. The flags are not exactly overlapping, right? You can, when you build a camp with flags, you can build a camp this way and build your sectors very, very clear. Or you can build your sectors much more nebulous. Here's a sector, but there's this gray area that belongs to each flag. So Baba Kama has that gray area. The two apples can still produce territory. You're not Bor, you're not Eish, you're a Bor-Eish combo. You're not Bor. Here, we say, you know what? I can just take Bor and any other of and infer the Mechayiv of Karen Mechuberes. But it's not Karen Nezek Shalom. So far, we haven't had anyone tell us that the Havamina of Karen Mechuberes paying Nezek Shalom is because I would have called it Karen Mord Mechilasa. But now, after learning Bava Kama, Daf Tesvav, and after hypothesizing, and as Tosus explained to us, in Bava Kama, Daf Gimel, maybe we can understand Baba Kama Taf Beis and Medeis. I would have thought that Karen Mechuberes is Chayiv Nezek Shalim because it is what? In the Havamina, what would the logic have been? It is Karen, which is Mord Mechilasa. We have a new paradigm. This is called globalization. According to the Rambam, there's a new paradigm in Tesvav and Medeis. According to Tosfos, there's no new paradigm, which is Shein and Regal. But according to the Rambam, the Mishnah in Tesvav and Medeis gives us a new model. It's called Karen Mord Mechilasa. Same way we tried to globalize from the Rambam on Tesvav and Beis to Avdas Kina Maso, we did this yesterday. Now we're globalizing, we're extrapolating, just like Niskei Chayos is Mord Mechilasa, and it's Karen, according to the Rambam. Maybe that's what I would have suggested about Karen Mechuberes. It would have been Karen, which pays next to Shalom. And Maskan is not rejecting that logic. So it says, by the way, it's not true. Mechuberes is equivalent to Telusha, because there's a pasuk to tell me that Karen in Parshas Mishpatim means Telusha and Mechuberes. So now, guys, if that's true, look at the board. Again, methodology. If that's true, then according to the Havamina, the logic of the Havamina, Telusha is classic Karen. It has to go through Tam to Muad. But Mechuberes, I would have thought, it's Karen, but it's Muad Mitchilasa, at least over the Tam stage. So now ask yourself, what makes Mechuberes worse than Telusha in this line of reasoning? What are the two options we're always thinking about? Is Mechuberes worse than Telusha because it is more Shia? Or is Mechuberes worse than Telusha and it becomes an automatic Mord because it's more of a
Shame us. That's always our yardstick. You want to know,
what is this process called Tom going to Muad? A process of escalated Shia, or a process of becoming a Mazik? The way to prove that is automatic Muadim. Are they automatic because they exhibit high levels of Shia from the get-go? Or they're automatic because they're called the Shia, like we said about the Zagita Masel, where the logic is pretty clear. So in your mind, again, this is all very, very hypothetical. I can't prove it, because we're discussing a Havamina. If you view it as Kara, there are 13 ways to view the Havamina, we're taking one side of the Havamina. But in your minds, is attached horns more Shia than separate horns? Or separate horns, the animal takes a horn in its mouth and damages? Or, according to this logic, it's just more of a shame mazik. Now, there's no right answer here, because I'm not discussing a Rishon, or I'm just asking you the question. What would you say? Why would I crown, or not crown, but define, Karen Felusha as an immediate Muad, but as an immediate Muad, but Felusha would still be, you know, you gotta go through the process. So what do you think, Gabi?
Just imagine that it would be more of a shame mazik than if the animal picks up Karen Felusha and uses it as a weapon.
So you think that the opposite is true.
But it's just, also, it wouldn't really make sense. You're doing the same amount of Shmira, whether it's Shmira or Mithubarin, so it should be the same amount of Shmira.
Okay, so I believe very strongly in your second point. I don't see the difference in Shia. So I have to watch the animals. Like, oh, I was more for a Pesha for Mechuberes than I was for Felusha. But I'm not sure I agree with your first point. Does anyone disagree with this first point, that Mechuberes is more of a Mazik than Felusha? Yeah?
Yeah, because if it has horns attached to it, it's inherently more dangerous animal than it would be otherwise.
Okay, so you're saying it's because of the inherent danger. Okay, again, I have to watch the animal for all eventualities, but
no,
the
so
danger...
inherently has more of a Shem Mazik.
But right, for the danger potential, and the Shem Mazik determines... Or, in general, I mean, well, what's another way? What's another yardstick to determine what the Shem Mazik? Not just inherent danger, but level of normalcy. Since wild animals normally damage, so that's a Shem Mazik. Since domesticated cows don't normally, so the normal way that, you know, again, it's not really normal, like Shein and Regal, it's not Bianca Dorche, but since it's not just the level of danger, level of impact, but most animals that have horns will gore with their horns. They're not going to gore with horns in their teeth or in their nose. So, when the animal gores with its horn, since that's the natural way for this attack to happen, again, it's not something that's expected, because it'll be Shane and Rego, but it's the natural way that aggressive animals gore people, and matadors gore people, you know, fighting bulls gore people. So it is, that's an act of nesek. Whereas picking up horns in your mouth, which is a crazy way to do damage, because it's so irregular, it's not considered a mice nesek, the same way cows, regular, you know, innocent cows walking around and stomping and biting, would not be considered a shame mazik. So I agree, Gabi, very powerfully, I don't see different levels of Shia. I do see, in potential, in our Mishnah, getting back to our Mishnah, I could very easily just say that the difference between wild animals and domesticated animals is Shia. I have to expect boa constrictors, I have to expect doves, I have to... But all of a sudden, you get to these cases where the offset between Tom becoming Muad and Muad L'Chilasa doesn't really seem to be great of Shia. I don't think I'll have more of a Shia when the animal damages Mechuberes than it would have been if the animal damaged the Felusha. And therefore, the higher Shia pain has to show up from the get-go. It seems that there are models where we're creating two different categories in Karen. Karen is not more than Chilasso, and Karen is more than Chilasso. And the difference is much more categorical. Not how much I have to anticipate and guard against it, because after all, Gabi, it's the same. Gabi, say it differently. In Bava Kama, Tetzvava, basically, I have two different animals, my cow versus my lion. So it's clear that those could be different levels of Shia. More Shia with the lion than with the cow. But here we're starting to talk about the same animal, which is different forms of actions. And that's what bothered Gabi. If it's the same animal, so the Pshia is the same. You have to watch the animal against goring. It's like, oh, it turns out you gored with your Mechuberes, you're more of a Pshia. No, you watch the animal against goring. So why would I still believe that if the animal gored with its horns, that's Nezek Shelling? But if it gored with horns in its teeth, it's not Nezek Shelling. Evidently, the offset between those two is less how much Pshia there is, and more how I define the mice, and is it a mice and nezek, however I choose, Ari. Maybe I choose your issue, maybe I choose other issues, but the level of Shia seems to be similar. It's the action that seems to be different, and once they're talking about actions, you start talking about what is or isn't the mazik. It's a formal difference, not a likelihood of predictability. Let's start from the beginning. Zev and Gabi and Dovid. Yes?
Can you say that because it's less likely than you're less to shame?
Correct. You could say it. Gabi's thesis is that once it's the same animal in the same basic realm of concern, so it's hard to say that retrospectively I was more of a Shia when it damaged my horse. I have to watch the animal against goring. And that's a collective watching. I don't say, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to pay attention when it goes and picks up horns. I'm not going to pay attention, or vice versa. less responsive to pay attention when it picks up horns. Maybe. I mean, it's hard. This is very, very, very abstract because no Rishonim talk about it. We don't have cases to sing our teeth or Lashonis and Rishonim. But this is the same methodology we use when we have Rishonim. It's like trying to see, is this a technical difference, incremental difference, or a categorical difference? So we're using the same tools with a sugya. Basically, I'm making up the sugya. I mean, in a fabricated way. I'm making a sugya out of nothing. I'm taking five cases and more than three less, and I'm saying, what's happening here? And how does this reflect on what's happening in Talmud more? So the framework is solid. You have to decide, you know, you agree with my logic, disagree with logic, say different logic, but this is the way you process these five cases. What does Mord Mechilasa tell us about the Mord process? Okay, Gabi, yes?
Do you think that they both have a Shein Mazik just when it's Klusha, it's not like it's so Meshuna, it's not Meisnes, it's not Ptor? Or it's like Katsinezek?
Okay, 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 so you're making a slight variation. Now, a question is the definition of the object, the definition of the action. It's the same Shein Mazik, but the action isn't called a Meisnes. Okay, it's a slight variation. I'm using Shein Mazik as a general title for the entire category. The differences are formal. What is it in the Chavtza or in the Meisim? Okay. I'm not trivializing. I'm just trying to show you that I want to encourage this, that you take my ideas and change them a little bit and alter them a little bit. But I'm giving you the shell of the structure, how to view the major shell here is what's happening. More pshia, less pshia, or some formal difference between the actions, or and because of the actions, where the object is defined. Okay, Dovi.
You say that it's still categorical, but the confusion is what thing. Meaning, it seems like the horn is the thing that has the shein mazik, but we're trying to assign it to an animal. So that would be where the confusion is, because that's why maybe it would be more similar to boar or something like that. I mean,
and therefore, no, I'm saying. Don't bring boar into the conversation. If the difference is Karen Tom versus Karen Morton Filasa, what's the difference? Because Felusha is or is not, and Mechobaris is. Give me one word. I said Felusha would not be a Shein Mazik, Mechobaris would be a Shein Mazik. Gabi said Felusha would not be a Meisen Ezek, Mechobaris would be a Meisen Ezek. What are you trying to get at?
That you couldn't necessarily assign the animal Shein Mazik because it used something else.
Oh, okay. Since the horn is separate, you can't call the animal a mazik because it picked up a clay. Okay. Yeah. Whereas Mechobaris, it's its own horn, so you can call the animal a mazik if the object did a mazik. Potential. Obviously, you know, anything an animal picks up becomes part of its employment is using the tools. Maybe animals don't use tools as much. Because it's somewhere in that area, this triangulation between you, me, and Gabi is where the difference lies. But it's not down there near Eitan, you know, pshia or not pshia. We're all saying the same thing. The pshia is the same. The mice is different. On that note, let's see, scratching our heads facetiously, because I know where we're heading, let's see if we can find two other cases of Karen Mord Mitchilaso, where the difference isn't really the level of Shia, because it's really the same basket that you have to be careful for, but the difference between the regular case and this new case of Mord Mitchilaso would be how we define the mice of the object, whatever. That's what really, really interests us. Niske Chayos is supple enough to go in both ways. What makes Chayos Karen Mord Mitchilaso going to the Rambam? More Pshia. Okay, he's in 38. Avinskin Amasa, it's less so. Maybe I'm watching. Maybe it's less Pshia. Now, remember we said yesterday, because people are going to watch out, that Avinskin Amasa, so I'm less of Pshia, and yet ironically, I pay Nezik Shalom from the get go. Okay? So now we talked about case number three. Case number three is Karen Mechuberis going to the house. Case number four is a Chilik Berbalazar. But here again, everyone, wake up, because you're going to need to really work at this good methodology. You have to start peeling away the orange peel till we get to the fruit. Because this is not a case which announces itself as Karen Mord Mitchilaso. This is a case which announces itself as Nezek Shalim. But many Rishonim, well, not that many Rishonim here, but in theory you could say, you know why this case is Nezek Shalim, Shane and Regalim. Go on, there's nothing to see here. What case am I talking about? Sitting... one big kit. The Mishnah, okay, now it's good chazara, even if you're not following all the lamdas, good chazara. So let's make sure we know all the details. The Mishnah gives five examples of acts of Karen. Anyone want to listen for me? My throat is hurting me. Five examples are? Hold on. Goring. What's the next? Just read it. Ligov is body butting, you know, butting with your body, crushing, butting, whatever. Biting, sitting, squatting, and kicking. Those are the five classic cases of Karen that start out as Tam, and that's what the Mishnah says. Chamisha Tam and Chamisha Mu'ad. The Mabahima Einam Wedus, the Ligach, the Ligov, the Lishoch, the Lirvots, the Lirvot. Okay. This is not roughly similar, but exactly identical to the list of Karen on Daf Beis. So, good chance for Chazal. Let's turn back to Daf Beis and the Beis. Remember the Rav Papa scavenger hunt? They told us Kayotze Olav, Kayotze Abraham, and Karen didn't provide the goods because Karen is Kayotze Abraham. We thought it could. So the Gemara gave us a list of all the Toledos of Karen. Told of the Karen Mahi, it's in the middle of the Daf, told of the Karen Mahi. Okay, where the Av is Negicha, so now we only have four in this list, because the Av is Negicha. So what are the four toldos that are not directly described in the Pasuk? Negifa, Neshicha, Ravitza, Bita. So the list of classic Karen includes five cases: goring, body butting, biting, kicking, and squatting. Ravitza. Line will top. Okay, nothing to see here. Classic Karen, they move on. The excitement begins with a comment of Rebbe Elazar. It's not clear whether this is Rebbe Elazar or Rebbe Eliezer. Maybe you could connect it with Rebbe Elazar about the Niske Chayos in the end of the Mishnah. But for now, let's treat this as autonomous. Amar Rebbe Elazar. First line of the Gemara, Tazayin Amanav. When the Mishnah said that if you lie, if the animal squats on Kalim, it's going to be Chatzin Esek, Ela Pachim Gidolim. Huge items that, you know, they're larger than the animal, really, really big, or the size of the animal. And that's going to be Karen Tom, and it's going to be Chatsi Nezek, and you're going to have to become a Mu'ar to pay Nezek Shel. Aval Pachim Kitanim. But if the animal lies on smaller Kalim, that is just more convenient for it, less of a Orchehu, you pay Nezek Shel. And now the Gemara actually tries to bring a raya from that because there's a brisa that makes it sound that way. Against the Mishnah, which collectively called Ravitza as Karen Tam and Chatzin Nezek, listen to this brisa. We have a brisa that seems to be a little bit different from the Mishnah. Oh, now it's a Mu'ad, not Tam. La'aloch kidarka, l'shaber, u'lemayech, esa adam, v'esa behemi, v'esa kelim. Lemayech sounds like the crush. Crushing is by sitting. And yet the Mishnah calls it Mu'ad Nezek Shalim. So how could our Mishnah call it Tam? And this price, I call it, evidently, there's a chilek between Pachim Ketanim, Pachim Gedolim. Pachim Gedolim is classic Karen Chatzin Nezek. Pachim Ketanim is Orchei Nezek Shalim. You can't bring a rye. You can say the price is not talking about crushing by sitting. That would always be Chatzin Nezek Tam. It's talking about crushing by scraping against it, which would clearly be shame because it's Nizchacha. You're scraping yourself on these kelim in order to solve your itch or get rid of the maggots, and that would be classic shame. So the price doesn't necessarily have to be Nezek Shalim by Pachim Kitanim as opposed to Chatzi Nezek in our Mishnah by Pachim Gidol. Okay, fine. You don't have a raya from the price. Now, here we have a case of an animal sitting, squatting, crushing, same thing. And Pachim Kitanim, you pay Nezek Shalim. Oh, so everyone tell me why I shouldn't be raising my eyebrows. Oh, you see, Karen Mu'ad Mitchilasa. Someone reject what I just did. Someone make fun of me. Okay, yeah, everyone's waking up. Oh, come on, you didn't read the Gemara, Beit Aragin, because when the Gemara tells us why you're Chayiv Nezek Shalim and Pachim Ketanim, what words does it use, Zev? Orchehu. And Orchei typically means shame. So the simple, dimple way to read this Gemara is to say that we do not have a fourth case of Karen Mu'ad Mitchilasa. The reason that Pachim Gedolim is Chatzi Nezek, because that's really Karen, normal Karen. And Pachim Ketanim is shame. Period, let's move on. For any of these Gemaras to be relevant or pertinent to our conversation, we have to first establish that they're Karen. There's a big mistake in Lumbus. You skip steps sometimes. I mean, you're escorting. Is it our conversation or are they Rishon that could learn it differently? Is there anything in the Gemara that makes me think that maybe there is an option to view Nezek Shalim and Pachim Kitanim not through Shein and Regel, but through Karen Mu'ad Mitchilasa? Before I get to a Rishon, is there anything in the Gemara? Okay. Very, very important. Sometimes the Gemara will quote a Lishna Achrina, a second Lashon, and the differences between the first Lashon and the second Lashon will be very, very slight. But there are differences. Now let's see, I'm going to skip over the second lashon of the Gemara. Let's see the third lashon of Rabbi Elazar. Tell me what the obvious difference is, and then what the not-so-obvious difference is, okay? Let's reread the first lashon, really important methodologically, guys. It's just reading Gemara. First step of Lamdas, obviously, reading Gemara. We'll read Rabbi Elazar's first lashon, then we'll read the third lashon of how Rabbi Elazar got to the conclusion that Pachim Kitanim is Nezek Shalim as opposed to Pachim Gedolim, being Chatzi Nezek. Let's read the first lashon. Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo shanu ela Pachim Gedolim. When the Mishnah says that squatting and crushing is Chatzi Nezek Tam, that's Pachim Gedolim. Amar Pachim Kitanim, Urchehu. Okay, as Zeb told us, Urche makes it sound like the difference between Pachim Kitanim, which is Nezek Shalim, and Pachim Gedolim, which is Chatzi Nezek, is Pachim Gedolim is Karen, Pachim Kitanim is Shein Beregel. Nothing to see here. Now, next go to the third lashon. Right before the two dots, two lines before, first word on the line. Ika de Rami le Mirma. Some people learned Rabbi Elazar, not that he said halacha and wanted to prove it from a brisa and we just debunked the proof, but they actually asked a kasha on Rabbi Elazar from the brisa, or asked a kasha in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Elazar was solving the steer. In the first lashon, Rabbi Elazar gave him halacha. The Gemara tried to, against the Mishnah, qualifying the Mishnah. Mishnah says all squatting is keren tam chatzin nezek. Rabbi Elazar distinguished between pachim gedolim, which is chatzin nezek, and pachim gitanim. The Gemara says, oh yeah, this is price. And Rabbi Elazar says, you know what? The price isn't such a riot. In the third lashon, Rabbi Elazar didn't just give a statement. Rabbi Elazar's statement was trying to resolve the tension between the price and the Mishnah. Okay, so that's the difference between the first lashon and the third lashon. It's the same fact. The difference is how epistemologically this whole conversation evolved. In the first, I'll say it again, guys, because I see a lot of guys that are a little fashluff, and the Gemara is a little abstract. In the first, Lashar Blazer came to Shir and said, guys, the Mishnah says Ravitza is Chatzin Nezek, it's not all Ravitza. If it's Pachim Gedolim, it's Tam Chatzin Nezek. If it's Pachim Gitanim, that's Karen Etchein Vireka. Cool chain. Then someone said, Rebbe, I have a raya for you. You're saying something which doesn't make sense in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is very generic, or Ravitza, but you're making a chilek. There's a brisa that makes it sound like you, that sometimes squatting is Nezek Shalom. Blah says, you know what? Don't bring a right for the brisa. That could be scratching, not squatting. I mean, that's not. In the third Lashem, this is the way it went down in the Beit Medrash. The Blazer came in and said, guys, I have a stira. The Mishnah says, all pachim are chatzin Nezek, but the brisa says that squatting is Nezek Shalom. I'll tell you the answer. The Mishnah is pachim gedolim. The brisa is Pachim Kitan. So in the first Lashon, Rabbi Elazar had a comment. He qualified the Mishnah. They said maybe the brisa is like you. He says, no, I don't think the brisa is like me. In the third option, Rabbi Elazar came in as the stira and used his distinction between Pachim Kitan and Pachim Gedolim. He used his distinction to solve the stira. Okay, that's the difference. Can anyone find the less obvious difference between Rabbi Elazar's chilek according to the first Lashon and Rabbi Elazar's chilek according to the second Lashon? Look very carefully. I'm going to take a second to look inside, or to open your eyes and look inside. What's the distinction? Anyone see it? And dear God, I think I see that curt little smile, that deceptive smile. Zev's got it. Azari, you got it? Not yet? Okay. Good. Maybe. Pretty obvious. Just look at the text. Learn to read text really, really carefully. Not up here in your brain, it's here in the Lashon. Okay, Adir, you're the Nachshon, what do you think? Very good. When Rabbi Elazar says that you're Chayiv Nezek Shalim on Pachim Ketanim, even though you're Chayiv only Chatzin Nezek on Pachim Gedolim, in the first Lashon, how does he justify Nezek Shalim by Pachim Ketanim? Urchei. That's Shane. Read the language again. Lo shanu, second wide line, ela pachim gedolim. Ava pachim gitanim, orchei. We pay nezek shalom, presumably because of shame direct. Let's just read it that way. In the third lashon, he just said, there's a chilek kan bepachim gedolim, kan bepachim gitanim. And he doesn't tell us why pachim gitanim is nezek shalom. It could be that it's shame direct. But it could also be, idea that why does he pay nezek shalom for pachim gitanim? Karen muad mitchilas. The pachim gitanim is also Karen, but it's muad mitchilas. I don't know. I wish Rabbi Elazar were in the room. Rabbi Elazar, why did you tell me that squatting on Pachim Ketanim is Nezek Shalim? Did you think that it crosses the boundary from Karen to Shein Berega, and that therefore it's not germane to our topic? We don't have that fourth case of Karen Mord Mitchilasa. Or did you feel that Pachim Ketanim still remain within the realm of Karen, But they're Karen, which sleep frogs, the more it process. Pachim Gedolim starts as Karen Tam, Chazana, you have to get the more. Pachim Gitanim, it's Karen. I don't know, but clearly there's a tension or difference between Avilos' first version and Avilos' last version. Because he uses the word Orche, which sounds like a chain conversion, in the first shot, not in the third shot. To really read shots really carefully. Sometimes we'll have the same shot, the same svara. So one word will be different one time, but that could make it a complete categorical change. Now, further suspicion is raised by Rashi. Not here, but Rashi, where? From your Makaros? Bezim and Bez. What does Rashi add to the conversation on Bezim and Bez? On Dav Tesvav in the Mishnah, we're talking about the size of the Kelim. Some reason, big Kelim, regular Karen, small Kelim, Nezek Shalim. We don't really know what that is. It's Nezek Shalim for Shane and regular, and Nezek Shalim because it's Karen more than the Kelas. How does Rashi add to the conversation on Dav Bez? What does Rashi tell us? What aspect, what information that we don't have on Tesvav? Not the size of the Kli, but the. Give me one word in English. Okay, what's that called?
Motivation.
Motivation of the animal. Was this animal sitting with intent to damage? Was the animal sitting just to relax and enjoy itself? Why is that important? Because the motive of the animal may determine whether it's Shane and Regal or whether it's here. According to, let's say, the first version of Blazer, sometimes it's Shkeren, if it's Mishuna, Pachim Gedolim, sometimes it's Shane, if it's Orche. In order for it to be Shane, you need to have intent for Hana, or the Semana. The animal's tired, it wants to sit down. Rashi, on Daf Beis and Medeis, where the Gemara talks about Ravitza there, says, Ravitza is defined as animals. Let's look together at Rashi, Dibra Masko Ravitza. Sherasa Kalim Biderech Veholcha Veravtza Lam Kedei L'Shabram. As the Mufiyasu says in our Mishnah. Namely, all these squatters, these animal squatters, they're squatting to try to damage the clay. So if they're squatting with Kavana Lazik, it's likely, again, there's a little bit of wiggle room here also, but certainly if it's Kavana Lazik, all of a sudden it becomes more likely that this is Karen. All squatting. In which case, Rabbi Lazar is distinguishing between Karen regular, Pachim Gedolim, has to go through Tam Timur, as opposed to Karen Mord Mitchiloso by small Kalen, because it's Karen, because it's Kavana Lazik. Namely, we may have found our fourth case of Karen Mord Mitchilasa. Case number one, Niske Chayos, according to the Rambam. Case number two, Avnaskina Masod Lovkin, according to Rav. Case number three, Havamina by Karen Mechuberis. Case number four, Pachim Revitzal, Pachim Ketanim, according to Rebbe Lassa. Jibbe Nezek Shem from the get-go, again, do we know precisely as Karen? No, but according to Rashi, it sounds like it is. So guys, now let's return to the Gavi, Dovi, Noam conversation, Zev conversation. What's the difference between Pachim Gedolim and Pachim Ketanim? If they're both Karen, one is normal Karen, delayed Karen, and one is bada bing, bada bang, automatic Mord Karen. What makes Pachim Ketanim become a Mord Mitchilasa? As opposed to Pachim Gedolim. You could tell me, you're totally off the reservation. There's no such thing as Pachim Ketanim being Karen Mord Mitchilasa. It's all just Shane and Regal. Okay, well, I don't have the Rishonim here, guys. I can't tell you. I can only give you what I have. But it sounds a lot like, at least going to the third day, that Pachim Ketanim, according to Rebbe Lazar, is not Nezek Shalim because it crosses the boundary to Shane and Regal. It remains in the Karen world because Kavanah Zolazik. It just becomes Karen Mord Mitchilasa. So it's the same syndrome, Gavi. I have to protect my animal against squatting. Can you say that if my animal Zev squatted on small Kalim, it's more of a pshia, and if it's squatted on big Kalim, it's less of a pshia? I don't have to watch for squatting. You could say it. And when I walk down the street, if I see big Kalim, I don't really have to guard the animal that much, and therefore it's less pshia. But if I see small Kalim, I have to guard the animal. It seems to me that guarding doesn't differentiate between big and small Kalim. I have to guard my animal. I see an animal squatting, I have to stop it. I don't sit there and assess what types of Kalim it is. Animals have tendencies to squat. Sometimes they'll find big Kalim. So to say that Pachim Ketanim is more Pshia than Pachim Gedolim, you could say it. But it would seem to me Now, the difference between an animal squatting on big kalim, an animal squatting on small kalim, is that squatting on big kalim is less of a maisa nezek for some reason that you'll tell me, and therefore it starts at the starting point of time and has to become a maisa nezek. Whereas squatting on small kalim, that becomes a maisa nezek from the get-go. The question is why? Why is squatting on big kalim not considered a maisa nezek?
It's less likely to damage.
Okay, so you say likely. It's more likely to squat on small kalim than likelihood and regularity. And then that could define maisa nezek. Is there anything else that strikes you as different in an animal? I don't want to give it away. Squatting on big kalim, an animal squatting on small kalim? And therefore, squatting on big kalim is not really a maisa nezek until you do it a lot, because it's... What makes squatting on big kalim not a maisa nezek and has to go through a process of becoming maisa nezek as opposed to squatting on small kalim? Say what Azariah said. Benji? What? Mishun. That's like what Azariah said. Is there anything more categorical? You still have
it. It's not trying to
break the stuff under it. Okay, you're getting to it, right? Basically, finish the sentence because you said it. When an animal squats on big kalim, we don't call that squatting. What do we call that? Sitting. Animals sit on items that provide support for them. Animals are going to come and sit on this cup. We call that squatting and breaking. Whereas if an animal is going to come and sit on big kalim, it's just resting. It's just literally like a camel squatting. Because it needs a place to rest, and obviously the kalim provides some relief for it, and some tactile, whatever it provides. It's cooler, it's hotter, whatever.
Even though we say Ravitza is Kedei L'Shabran?
Even though it's Kedei L'Shabran, but the action itself, the anatomy of the action is an animal sitting. And therefore, once it does it three times, Kedei L'Shabran, then that becomes the part of the animal's arsenal. Just like when my cow gores three times. But is this the offset between Pachim Gedol and Pachim Gedolim? Again, we're getting closer to the mark where we have offsets between regular Karen time and Karen Word Mechilah, so that don't seem to be offsets of different levels of Shia. They seem to be different types of actions. Or no, if you continue and say, you know what, Pachim Gedolim, you were less Shia. Who could have imagined? It's irregular. Pachim Gedolim, you're real Shia because you should have had your eyes on the animal, so the animal does it more frequently. It's hard to know, but these cases help us sharpen this question as to what happens with the Mord. Okay? Let me repeat the four cases, and then we're going to see a totally different world, but maybe we'll factor it back to our world. Case number one, Niske Chayas, according to the Rambam. Case number two, Avskin Amaso, Delafkin, according to Rav. Case number three, Karen Mechuberes, according to Hamlin. Case number four is Pachim Gedolim, according to Rebbe Lazar, if it's not Shein, if it's Nezek Shelim, it's Karen. What's the final case you saw in your Makaros of Karen being Nezek Shelim? Who? Who is Shita? Rabbi Tarfon Shita. Okay, this is Shita's Yachid, so it's a whole different view above a comma. It's like Euclidean and non-Euclidean geometry. So whatever we'll say in Rabbi Tarfon doesn't necessarily transfer over to the Chachamim, but it may. Right? Sometimes you look at strange Shitas or deviant Shitas to see clearer logic, then you say, well, even the one who argued, like we tried in Rabbi Lasso a little bit. Oh, it's not B'nai Taribus. It is B'nai Taribus. What did the Rabbanim say? So Rabbi Tarfon felt... Okay, and it comes across in our sugya because of this one line in the Mishnah, but the real sugya is on Chaf Daled Amud Beis. Let's just read the one line in the Mishnah, and we'll see a little bit. It's going to be abstract thinking, so get ready. If you're tired, don't worry, but if you're not tired, get ready for a bit of an illogical thrust. We're going to go into a very, very abstract concept, but hopefully you'll be able to see at least what's happening. So the Mishnah has this throwaway line in the middle of the Mishnah, Shor HaMazik Bershus HaNizik. Okay, Shor HaMuad, Shor HaMazik B'Rishus HaNizik. The simple way to read this line, Shor HaMazik B'Rishus HaNizik, that any animal in B'Rishus HaNizik will be Chayv Nezik Shalim, including Tom, including Karen. So Karen Tom is only Chatzin Nezik in B'Rishus HaRabim, but if it enters B'Rishus HaNizik, then it will be Karen Muad. This is Shitas Reb Tarfon, and that puts the whole Gemara into a funk. Like, what is this Mishnah? Is it Tarfon? The beginning Mishnah sounds like Yerbanan, and that's what occupies the Gemara. A more straightforward presentation than the Selech is on Chaf Daled Amud Beis. Let's see the Mishnah Chaf Daled Amud Beis. This is the Makor. Shor HaMazik B'Rishus HaNizik Ketzad. Nagach, Nashach, Rabatz, Ba'at, B'Rishus HaRab M'Shem L'Chatzin Nezik. B'Rishus HaNizik. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Nezik Shalim. Chamamim L'Chatzin Nezik. So this is the Machlok Kestin, the Chachamim, and Rabbi Tarfon. Okay, very appropriate. We're learning Dine Karen, and we have Rabbi Tarfon. Russian Litrov. Taraf the Daras, Daras Acho, Taraf Acho, Sarvi Tarfa. Hina Alazai is Taraf Bithiya. Nosin Teref Lirea. Okay. This is a Bitarfa. Okay. You guys are being named the predator. Okay. That's a Bitarfa. That's where the word came from. Okay. Now, one thing is for clear. Okay. One thing is sure. We don't have to go through, Alex, that whole pulling away the peel of the onion or the orange and ask ourselves, is this Nezek Shalim Midin Karen or Midin Shane Vereka? It's clear that what are we talking about here? No? Okay. Nothing worth it here. Unlike all the other cases, especially case 1, 2, and 4, where, you know, maybe it's Shane Vereka. Maybe it's something else. Maybe Niske Chayos is Shane Vereka, as Tosa says. Maybe Adir and Pachim Kitanim is Shane Vereka. I don't know if this is Karen. Here, this is bona fide Karen. It's an animal goring, like my milk cow, running and goring, had it happened with Shasarabim, you'd get the Chatzin Ezek business. Having Shasayach, going to your tire phone, you get upgraded. Well, not upgraded, but you get downgraded. You get accelerated to Nezek Shalim from the get-go. So now, one way is to say, why is this more Mechilasa? The simple way is, more Pshia. When I'm in Rishas Arabim, so I'm less on guard. Even though the frequency of the action is the same, but my responsibility to provide coverage is less severe. Why? Because you're around, you'll be careful. Now, like we said yesterday, I'll skid on myself, and Nizek will be a little careful. It's just Arabim, it's public domain. But when I'm walking and I see my cow, all of a sudden veering into your Rishas, that is a higher level of Pshia. And hence, we don't really have an offset between regular Karen and super Karen, steroidal Karen, that's more of a mazik. It's just more pshia. Normally, Karen time is less pshia. Here, the fact that I was so grossly negligent that not only did my animal gore your animal on Fifth Avenue, but my animal ran into your shoes and gored your animal. So that's a horrible pshia. And that all of a sudden escalates the pshia even from day one. I pay Nesek Shalom from the get-go, from second number one. Is there a way to say no, 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 no? What makes negicha of Karen Tam and Rishos Hayach Epei Nezek Shalem is not higher pshia, but more of a Maisa Nezek. Probably more of a Maisa Nezek. It's the same object, Dovi, it's the same recipient, his mom's the same thing. My cow can gore your cow in Rishos Harabim, or can gore your cow in Rishos Hayach. Why is that more of a Maisa Nezek? It's location, it's not the exact same action. It would have to be more pshia, right? How can it be anything else? Maybe it is. When Rav Tarfon said that Karen pays Nesek Shalim in Rishus Hayachid, was it because it was a more advanced form of Karen? Or because Rav Tarfon has a whole different definition of what Hezek is? Okay, I'll see if I can tease it out of you. In Rav Tarfon, Hezek isn't about objects, it's about... It isn't about damaging objects, it's about come on, think about the world above a comma according to Rav Tarfon. It's a whole different mapping. I'll help you with coordinates if you can't get it, but see if you can think about it abstractly. We all process above a comma as actions against objects. Nice and Ezek. Abchaim. Shem Azek. Same object, same attacker, same victim object. What difference does it make? In Rav Tarfon's world above a comma, what is the real nezek? Not against your object, but you're against your shus. What do we call that? Not damage, but invasion. Because basically, in Rav Tarfon, you're never really chayiv in a shus harabim, but you're always chayiv to the hilt in a shus yachid. Henry, in the regular above a comma world, it's not really location oriented, right? Because Karen doesn't make a difference, just the answer's up. It's object oriented. Object and style of action. Rav Tarfon flips the script. Rav Tarfon changes the entire universe above a comma. But according to Rav Tarfon, it's basically you should say, Yachid, you pay an Ezek Shalem regardless. And it's a Rabbim, you don't pay, or if you pay, you pay a Knas. He may be redefining what Nezek is. I'm not chayiv for damaging your I'm chayiv for invading your privacy, of course, and damage. I don't invade your privacy and walk out scot clean. I'm not going to pay you, but it's the invasion. We're going to talk about this even outside of Rav Tarfon, even the regular universe, when you get to Shane, when the Torah writes, Ubir b'stei acher. Is the Torah giving us a location for the damage, or the Torah is describing the damage? and my animal runs into your rishus, I'm basically damaging your rishus, not the fruit I ate. The fruit I ate is just the way of damaging. But I'm taking a bite out of your rishus. We talked about this a little bit in the early part of the year, how we assess the damage, based on the fruit or based on the value of the fruit per the field. You might remember Nun Hei, Nun Vav, Kesat Shaman, Sanazikin, how do you evaluate how much the field depreciated without that row of fruits, or how much that row of fruits could be sold in the market, with the second part being higher than the first part. So in Reb Tarfon, the difference between Keren Tam Negicha Rishas Sarabim and Keren Tam Negicha Rishas Yachin, maybe it's more of a Maisa Hezek. Because his Maisa Hezek is not defined as action now. It's defined by action, it's the same action. Unlike Pachim Katanim and Gedolim are different actions. Unlike, I don't know, Niskechayo is different action, different animals. Here we have the same animal, same action, we thought. And if we have an offset, Zeb, between Keren Tam and Keren Murat Lezah, it has to be Pshia, right? Nothing else. Same action. Everything's identical. It stacks up. Maybe not. Keren Tam and Shazam didn't invade. Keren Tam and Shazam invaded. When my animal damages the Omer Shazarabim, since there's no invasion, we don't call that a Maisa Nezek. Maisa Nezek begins with invasion. So I have to create a Shem Nezek by doing that action three times. And then I create a Shem Nezek, not based on location, but based on action. When my animal invades your rishus, that's a maisa nezek from the gecko. V'harai shein v'rega. But I change the shein v'rega also. In macro bava kama analysis, it brings shein v'rega and carrot obviously much closer. Remember, Rav, they're all tana shor, the chomi with the shor. Because basically, the primary route for achieving nezek shalim is invading rishus. There's some secondary route, even though you didn't invade the rishus, if you repeat three times in rishus harap. If this is the view of a tarfon. Hard to know what Reb Tarfon said. I'll show you a cool way to try to decode, but it's still very abstract. But Noam, what's your question?
Why is the old thing still being classed as Nezek Shalim?
No, the question is why would you pay Nezek Shalim in Rishus HaRabim? For him, if you define Nezek as invasion of property, so the second you have invasion, it's sufficient. And the question is why shouldn't it be necessary, not just sufficient?
No
invasion. So right, if it's necessary, then you can't ever be chayav nezek shalom without home invasion. So why would you pay nezek shalom by a mortar and shes haram if there's no invasion? That's the real question.
Okay, but why would you pay even
okay, that's the knas. That's the Torah's knas.
For what? Why
are
you
getting knas? Like the Torah says, the lishmer the shorah, like the Torah says in Tzvah. I mean, look, that's the language of the Gaon.
It would be an ethic for
him.
So what?
Okay, and it won't be an ezek for us either if we feel it's a din and shame mazik. It's the same structure. We're just overlaying a different set of terms for what's a maisa nezek. Forget mitarfen, right? Rav's mahalach was that keren tam isn't a maisa nezek. So why do you pay? It's the kenas of the tar to make you watch your animal. Now we're saying that mitarfen redefines maisa nezek, but it's the same logical structure. It's not a maisa nezek. You don't pay, and therefore it's just a kenas. The real problem with mitarfen is, if Nezek is defined exclusively as home invasion, that's why Shane Regal and Karen Finn has a home, how can you ever get Nezek without home invasion? That's the real problem, because you have two tracks of Tarfon. I mean, that's not my question, that's his problem. What's your Tarfon's relationship? What is the relationship, according to Tarfon, between Nezek Shalom of Tam and Rishis and Nezek, and Nezek Shalom of Mord and Rishis Arab? That, I mean, that's an eternal contradiction. If it's sufficient, then it should be necessary. Right, it's sufficient to have tam and shesayachas. If it's sufficient, then why isn't it necessary? If it's sufficient but not necessary, then it has to be two tracks. And that's whenever you have something which is sufficient but not necessary, you obviously have to have two tracks. Right, it would say it's sufficient to get in the grocery if you have red hair. Okay, Gabi gets accepted. Okay, but it's not necessary. So why did I accept Alex? Okay, so evidently there are two ways to get in the grocery. Right, so it's only sufficient but not necessary. If it's sufficient and necessary, then that's the criteria, right? To get in the gush, it's sufficient to have red hair, and you need red hair. Okay, one guy in the shul, two guys in the shul. So we'll call Yishai, who else we have? Or grandfather and Yishai, and maybe Kavi, you know. You guys in the shul. It's evidently, it's sufficient, but not necessary, so there are two tracks. So now I'm here, it's sufficient, which is yeah. If it's not necessary, more just a rabbin. That's built into his life. Okay? Zaria.
What about, you have to look at four as a fundamentally different thing?
Only Azari could ask that question. What is the Tarfon view about? I don't know. I don't think Reb Tarfon is the only person in the world that has the view bar as fundamentally different. I think everyone has the view bar, including whom? A little Chazara here? Including the Mechilta, according to the Rashba, right? What's the Rashba's view of the Mechilta? Mechilta, can you decode that? The Mechilta says, "Ain on shin minadin against Shas." Tosfos feels the machlokas. Rashi says, "No, the Mechilta agrees it on shin mama minadin, but it's just halacha by bor because bor is so different. You can't be onish minadin because of the logic." Okay, so a lot of people are in that club, in that exclusive club of bor being different. Remember, we saw that bor is grama and bor is a chiddush and lechav chiddush. So
it's more different. It's not even.
Yeah, okay. It's hard to say more different. It's not even ma'ase nezer. It's not even invasion of Rishus. Yeah, but for sure. But that's not going to be the fatal flaw of the paraphrase putting bor into a. Into a parenthesis. Everyone's going to have to put bor into a parenthesis. Okay, any questions? Okay. Final part of Shir, just because I like to tease you a little and move your heads. How can we prove whether Reb Tarfon saw Karen Tam and Rishus HaNizik Nezik Shalim as just an increment of Karen? Or because there's a Rishus invasion, it's a whole different, it's a Mice and Nezik from the get-go. Okay, I'll draw it on the board and then see if you can connect the dots. Okay, we want to know, now we're off on a sidebar. And again, if you're tired, put your head down. I want to see if you can extract it. We have two ways of doing a tarifrin. The tarifrin holds that chatzi, that Karen Tam, is nezek shalim in Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaNizek, right? Shabbos, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaNizek. Is that because it's Karen plus more of a Pshia? What do you mean? That's you didn't want your animal from Gorim, you let him run into my Rishus. Come on. Even the first time you had to keep your animal in my Rishus, it's just a super pushet. Or it's a whole different category called Niske Rishus. We'll call it Niske Rishus. Kesel Rishus. Okay. There's a fascinating Mishnah, and very often, in most cases, you have the Mishnah, it doesn't tell you where he got it from, and we show him, Xvominan Emili, Maitaima, the Gemara, we'll say. Here we have the conversation of the Beis Medrash between Reb Tarfon and the Chacham. It's a well-known conversation where Reb Tarfon believed you can make a Kal V'chomer and you can increment it. The Chum say you can make a Kal V'chomer, but it has to be logically conservative, minimalist, or maximalist, probably a good way to say it. So if I say, okay, if Henry is going to get burnt in a heavy sun, then Silly Gavi is more a fair complexion. Okay. So I have established offsets. Something is more than the other. Kal v'chomer is all calculus, more or less. And I don't mean more or less. I mean it's more or less, heavier or not heavier. And decide what axis you're judging. If I'm judging fair weather or fair skin, then that's the axis. If I'm judging how tall you are, then that's the axis. Right? And no, kal v'chomer, you could be, let's say, taller but lighter. So if I'm judging weight, you're kal. If I'm judging size, you're chomer. You always have to see what the axis of the kal v'chomer is. Okay. Now that I've established something which is kal, the kal v'chomer says, well, if, you know, Henry has to wear suntan lotion of SP 20, then suddenly Gabi has to wear sun lotion of SP 20. It's a kal v'chomer. Or can I say, if Henry has to wear SP lotion of 20, Gabi, with more fair skin, has to wear SP lotion of 100? What do I say? How do I know that? Anyone know what we call that, whether you can extend the kal v'chomer and increment it and maximize it and stretch it, or you have to limit it? Dayo. Dayo lava min hadin lias kinita. You can create a kal v'chomer, but only to extrapolate or to export halacha from the kal to the chomer. You can't use the kal v'chomer to extrapolate and update it and increment it and change. Well, more chomer, then not only the halacha apply, but apply even more so, and I change the halacha v'chomer. Because it's chomer. It's a fascinating question in logic. Those who study math and calculus think about where this applies to math. Math is normally a very, very rigid and minimalist system. You can't start expanding numbers, you just can transfer. If x equals y, then y equals z. But can calculus, or Torah calculus, is the way the Torah system built, that it's cascading ascending levels, and in each ascent there can also be an update and increment. Reb Tarfon felt that yes. And somehow we can learn, according to Reb Tarfon, from something that Karen in Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaNizek, will be Nezek Shalom. Because his Kal V'chomer allowed to take a Kal, whatever that Kal is, and to extend it to the chomer and increment. And the Rabbanan constantly respond, now, dayo, dayo, davo, you're learning from chatzi nezek, keep tam and Rishus HaNizek, chatzi nezek, not nezek shalom. Okay. The question is, in Reb Tarfon, where did he want to learn it from? What was his kal v'chomer? So now let's read the Mishnah carefully. Amar lehem Rebbe Tarfon. Okay, it's a very, very abstract read. I'll try to make it simple for you. It's really fascinating. If you're able to dig into it, you'll see something just really interesting. Amalem Reb Tarfon, right? We have two variables here. We have Shein V'Regel, and we have the Rishus. Right? We want to know whether Karen will change from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Nisan. That's the Tavin's question. Tavin says it will change, Chamzei won't change. So we can either try to prove that it changes and it upgrades by comparing it to Shein V'Regel or comparing it to Karen. So let's see the beginning. The Gemara says as follows. Let me see my notes. I lost my notes because I have to like draw it out that it's so confusing. Let me just get my head straight again. Right. Okay. So the first approach, and I'll read it to you, is as follows. The Gemara says, I want to know whether Karen in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which is Chatzi Nesek, of course, Karen Tam, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, can I upgrade it to Nesek Shalom? Can Karen be Nesek Shalom? This is a tariff. The Gemara says, you know what? I already have a precedent for Rishus intensifying a chiyuv. What's my precedent for Rishus intensifying a chiyuv? Shein and Regel. My Shein and Regel, Rishus Arabim is Pater, and the Rishus intensifies the chiyuv. So basically, I'm using the model of Shein and Regel, which is intensified by Rishus, but the core is Shein and Regel. Rishus is an accelerator, an accelerant, an upgrader, an escalator, whatever. So it's just like Rishus intensifies or exacerbates the chiyuv of Shein V'Regel. I expect Rishus to have the same impact from Karen. To upgrade it, whatever, escalate it from Chatzi Nesek to Nesek Shalom. So the first shot I'll read it to in the Mishnah is, let's base Karen on Shein V'Regel. I already have a precedent for Rishus impacting the level of chiyuv. Let's apply the same precedent to Karen and increase Karen. So that's the Gemara's Lashon. You see the Mishnah. Uma b'makom shehekel al Shein V'Regel. This is a location in which Shein V'Regel doesn't exhibit Rishus Arabim Shu Pater Hichmir Alehem Rishus Anisik Shalom Nezik Shalem Makom Sheichmir Al Karen Rishus Arabim Einor Din Shenachmir Alef. So we see that Rishus exacerbates by Shein V'Regel. We'd expect Rishus to exacerbate by Karen as well. In which case, everyone says, okay, you're right, but Da'ilov Menadin, you can't upgrade. You can't say the exacerbation that is not on record. I read the exacerbation by Shein V'Regel is on record. The Torah says it. You want to apply an exacerbation, intensification to Karen based on Shein V'Regel? You can't. Die 11 minutes isn't it. You can say it's the same thing as it should be less than Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. It can't be more than Rosh Hashanah Rabbim because of Dial. In which case, the Rebbe says, okay, now I'm going to try strategy number two. Amar Lehen. Look at the last line. This is the radical shift. Amar Lehen. Afani lo adun Karen mi Karen. Okay, you're right. I'm now not going to try to say, oh, if Karen and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is X, then Karen and Rishus Yachid should be X plus Y because Rishus accelerates or whatever augments. I'm not going to learn Karen from Karen. I'll learn Karen from Regel. I'm not going to say that I'm going to learn it from the example of Shein V'Regel being accelerated in Rishus will teach me that Karen also exhibits a Rishus accelerator. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm not going to learn Karen Nesek Shalim from Karen Chatzi Nesek. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to learn Rishus, not Shein V'Regel. I'm not going to learn Karen from Shein V'Regel. This is, I'm trying to learn Karen from Karen. Can Karen accelerate based on Rishus? Based on Rishus. Acceleration based on Rishus. Shein provides me a model of acceleration based on Rishus. So maybe I should say that just like Shein provides the concept, let's apply it internally to Karen. If Karen is X, Rishus and Robin should be X plus Y and Rishus and Yachid. Then Rav Tarfon says, you know what, I'm not going to think about Shein V'Regel as my model for acceleration in Karen. I'm just going to say, okay, I have Rishus HaRabim, I have Rishus HaYachid. If Shein shows me that this is a Rishus that's Pater, this is a Rishus that's Chiyev, then I want to apply that same to Karen. This is a Rishus that's Pater, which is Chatzi Nezek. This is a Rishus that's Chayev, which will be Nezek Shalom. So I'm going to use I'm not going to try to upgrade Karen, intensify Karen based on the model of Shein. I'm just going to say, Rishus is Mechayiv me, and I know the Rishus is a Mechayiv. I'm not trying to view Shein as the model and the precedent for a change in Karen. That would be learning Karen from Karen. I know Karen and Rishus is more severe because I can base it on Shein being more severe. And I'm just going to say, forget, I'm not learning from Karen. I'm just trying to show there are two Rishios in life. One Rishios is less Chayiv, one Rishios is more Chayiv. I learned from Shein V'Regel about Rishus. I don't learn from Rishus about Shein V'Regel. I learned from Shein V'Regel about Rishus, and now I'll apply that same Rishus Chumra to Karen. Lo adun Karen mi Karen. I'm not going to accelerate Karen based on the acceleration I perceive in Shein V'Regel. Adun Karen mi Regel. I'll say just like the Rishus is super machmir by Regel, the Rishus is super machmir by Karen. Ma bim makom. Okay, he's not In the beginning, he was saying, Ma, he was looking at Shein V'regel, Ma b'makom, Shehekel al Shein V'regel, Hichmir, Rishus HaRabim, Hichmir b'keren. So I see that Rishus HaRabim is a more chamer, okay, Rishus HaRabim, even though it's light for Shein, it's more chamer for Karen. Makom Shehichmir al Shein V'regel. So if I go to a place where the things that had a discount in Rishus HaRabim now have a stringency, Shein V'regel, Rishus HaYachid, Einor Din Shenachmir b'keren. Which of these logics, if you follow them, are very, very slightly different, makes it sound like the chiyav is based on the reshus, and which makes it sound like that the chiyav of nezek shalom and reshus ayachad, according to your Torah phone, is just based on a hyped up and a souped up keren? Is one a hyped up and a souped up keren, or is one a more of a reshus?
The second one is more of a reshus.
Excellent. You see in between the lines? So it's obvious to you. Hey, you're smarter than me, because it takes me a while to take it out. In the first case, I'm trying to use Shein V'regel conversion. There's a conversion, there's an acceleration, there's intensification. Oh, Shein V'regel intensifies by Rishos, then Karen will also intensify itself by Rishos. The second one, I'm not trying to prove internal intensification. I'm trying to say what the location is the determinant. It's not that Karen will be more of a mazik in Rishos Yochid. It's Rishos Yochid. There's a place that you have to pay to the full amount, and that should cover both Karen and Shein V'regel. It's a subtle difference. If you didn't get it, I want to take your time, but reread it again. Again, you have to read the limudim. How is your tarfon arriving at his nezek shalom and reshus hayachid? By looking at the precedent of meisin ezekin that get intensified, shein v'regel, or by just saying, now that you're in a reshus, where there's more payment, you have to pay, because that reshus is rules, is full payment. If you paid in a reshus that you don't have to have full payment, or an easy reshus, you're still going to pay full amount in a reshus in which there's full payment. And the focus is not on how Shein V'regel changes by location, but how location determines the chiyuv. Okay, if I tell you, okay, that in New York City, I don't want to pick something that's, you know, so raw and hurtful, like anti-Semitism. Let's say there's a rule in New York City that this crime, you have to pay, money. And in Pennsylvania, that crime doesn't net you money. There's another way to offset and say, living in New York, you just have to pay tax. In Pennsylvania, there's no state tax. So what's happening in the Gemara? They say, oh, you see Shein V'regel, the action, which is not Mechayiv and Rishus HaRabim, but if you change location, that's a crime and you pay. So if it's a crime for Shein V'regel, then that's full payment. It should be a crime for Karen. They say, you know what? It's not making a difference. Anything in Rishus HaYachid, you're chayiv for. You live in New York, you pay. And the proof that you pay is Shein, because Shein isn't a payer, and yet you pay. The second language of the Mishnah makes it sound like we're talking about a property tax. The first language makes it sound like we're assessing the severity of the crime. How severe is Karen crime in Rishus Yachin? Well, let's look at Shein and Regel, and we'll see that it's more severe in Rishus Yachin, so the crime is more severe for Karen also. That's other than Karen me Karen. I'm going to see the intensification of Karen by looking at its cousin called Shein V'regel and realizing that location intensifies the action. As opposed to saying, you know what? Rishus HaRabim is a makom p'tur. Rishus Yachin is a makom chiyuv. And still Karen pays in Rishus HaRabim. So it's silly to pay in Rishus Yachin. That's called Adon from Shein V'regel. I learned from Shein V'regel not the internal intensification, but the nature of the zone that you pay there, and therefore I'm going to pay for Karen because I'm in the zone. So this question, how it's going to be an important question, we'll try to get down to Shein V'regel and Shus Yachid, could be the offset in a tarifon between where we learn it from. It seems very, very delicate, but it's just taking the variable. Is it action by location, or is it location based on action? What increments the chiyuv of Nezek Shalom? Yes, Aaron.
According to like the second version, is it correct to say that even Karen you should be part of Rishus HaRabim, but the only reason you hide is because of the nas from the Torah?
Well, that's for sure. The big question, as I was discussing with Noam before, is if location is everything, how do you ever get Nezek Shalom by Karen Mord and Rishus HaRabim? That's the real, you know, hole in the logic we have to solve. Right now, I'm just assuming there are two tracks for Nezek Shalom according to Tarfon, the primary track and the secondary track. Tom is going to be part there because there's nothing. There's no invasion, there's no Pshia. Okay. Let's summarize. Let's make a list just so you can walk away with something in your hand. We, us in this room, I'm not familiar with any sefer that's ever done this. So we in this room, the Talmidim of the Kehila Kedosha Yeshivat HaRetzion, have compiled a list of five Mu'adin Mitchilasa. Next time you're with Yeshiva Bachem that are learning Baba Kama, see if they'll know the five. I can almost guarantee you that you've got to be really, really, you know Baba Kama to make this list. This is not a simple list. You're collating and collecting. What are the five Mu'adim Mitchilasan? Again, we have to prove that it's Karen, or else it's just Shein V'regel. But what is Niske Chayos, according to the Rambam? Two is Avno Sakino Maso, Delo Afgarinu.
point to Rav. You see how when you know Shas, you're just picking a detail from here, picking a detail from here, picking a detail from here. You're not learning a sugya, you're learning topics, and as many details as you know, you're able to collate them and associate them. Three is possibly Karen Mechuberes Nezek Shalim according to the Havamina. Four is Pachin Ktanim according to Rebbe Lazar. Five is Tam Birshus Hanizek Lir Tafrin. These are cases that go right to Mord. Why do they go right to Mord? There's a whole problem with not going right to Mord is limited Pshia, and these are super hyper Pshias from the get-go. But the whole problem with going right to Mord is you're not a Mazik, and these things are more of a Mazik from the get-go. What makes these cases unique? Now, you know what? You can very easily say, that's really interesting over there again. This is a ghost. This doesn't exist. This Gechayos, I hope like Tosis. I'm just kidding myself, I hope like Revelbo. I don't know, I hold like the Telsus. Maybe it's regular. Tom Rishis and the Tarfon, it's a special lach or Tom Rishis and Rishis. May not exist. Of course. That's why. I'm collecting it. I'm trying to see, is there some logical stream that's running through Shas that helps us understand more? Okay? So, ideally, this should be the last shear in Mu'ud. Keep telling you that. We should go through the nuts and bolts of Mu'ud. What is the Mu'ud process? Shia, escalator. You know the animal is gored three times, and right? Just to give you a little taste, an extreme case. What happens if my animal gores your animal three times, and each time I'm not really chayav because there's a loophole? They're called negichas shel p'tur. This is Tosfos' question, the Chavdala. What do you think? Should my animal be a mord hashbein nezek shelim? Let's say whatever, it damaged a guy three times. I don't pay. Damage hectares three times. I don't pay. According to the Shiva, you don't pay. So you tell me, wait a second, Rabbi Tanya. The whole mood is just to make you more of a Shia. It's more likely. You know your animal isn't delicate anymore. You know your animal is an aggressive animal. The animal gore through, oh, didn't pay, don't pay. This person, that person. You now know your animal is a gore. And you are now more of a Shia. Since you're now more of a Shia, you're chayiv. Nezek Shalim on the fourth shot. That's Tosfos Ryan Chavdala, that Mord is not just creating or displaying tendencies which make you more of a Pshia. Mord is a categorical shift, and only if Basin prosecutes and collects payment is that called more of a Mazik. Now you could argue the case. What do you mean? It's a Mazik, and Mazik has it. So we'll see who Basin is prosecuting, the person, the animal. So really we should be learning those things and saying, by the way, guys, another way to prove what Hada does is not just the nuts and bolts of Hada, but let's talk about the exceptional cases, the outliers that make the leap immediately to Hada. Okay, I want to keep the integrity and the continuity of this of the text. And this comes up here, and it came up already, so I want to collect them and put them into your mind. But hopefully another couple, we'll get to Haftal, and we'll start to uncork like what really Hada is. Okay? The Mirtz Hashem tomorrow, we've got a nice, nice, fun, easy sugya. There's also Shir Kloli about it next week, but there's so much to see. It's such an intriguing sugya that I'm happy to repeat and Shir Kloli also. I hope we'll do it in one shir, maybe take two shirim. Famous, famous question. What comes first? What's more important? What comes first, learning or mitzvahs? Talmud or Maisa? And it comes up in Baba Kama because the Gemara talks on Daf, Yud Tezayin Amid Beis, about Hashtach Avot, Hashem, and then it talks about Chizkiyah, so it gets around to Chizkiyah's Levaya. And Chizkiyah was one of the last great white hopes at the end of the second, first Beis HaMikdash. There was one of the Tzaddikim, Malchus Beis David. And it talks about when you give a Levaya, do you say, is the highest praise that person is a Talmud Chacham, or is the highest praise is that person did a lot of Meis and Tovim? So we'll think, and hopefully this is a sugya which really allows you to get into thoughts that are more directly connected to at least the explicit issues of Avodas Hashem, right? I think everything, as Rav Chaim Balazhin said, is relevant. We now know more of Hashem's Ratzon, or more of the possible Hashem's Ratzon. But Hashem's Ratzon, as it applies to my ability to calibrate Tara and Maisim, this is a sugya that will very, very directly, it's a parallel sugya in Kedushin. I'll try to give you extra makaras for those who want to do extra learning and extra reading. Those who want to do it right. It's also very relevant for our period where we're all feeling the balance between Talmud Tara and Maisim Tovim. Talmud Torah is not voting and volunteering. So, interesting, interesting second. Okay, we'll stop here. Good luck with the Shir Kloli. Who's giving the Shir Kloli today?